Amen. Let's stand together and sing, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe, ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him, O majesty, ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Good. So we're glad that you're here this morning. Know that how this will end is Russia will get in it. They'll come down on Israel. Israel's already surrounded from Egypt to Jordan to all that. All their enemies are facing them right now, pushing them into the sea. There's no way they could win a war. There's no way. They have a lot of nuclear weapons, but they don't have enough to beat everybody. And if that thing starts, somebody bigger than me and you are going to have to stop it. And that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll return and he will have those countries coming down on Israel in complete derision. Matter of fact, the Bible says they'll be shooting each other. They won't even know who's who. And then he'll stand in defense of Jerusalem. And he will defeat Edom. Edom is the children of Esau. Jacob is the Jew. Esau are the Arabs. Okay? The Bible describes the tribulation as a time of Jacob's trouble. It's not a time of your trouble or my trouble. Fortunately, we'll be out of here. That's why we teach you the rapture of the church. I'm not going to see the tree of Armageddon. Now, all that's for somebody else. That's not for me. I'll be home by then. And so when that happens, the Lord Jesus Christ will wipe Edom out on the hills of Jerusalem. And that prophecy was given 2,000 years ago. And people were laughing at it and saying, "That's ridiculous. What's a Jerusalem?" There wasn't one. Doesn't have to be one when God gives a prophecy. It'll come. You just wait. You don't have to look and see. Be one of the scoffers who come. You can be one of the believers who go. And that's what I'm looking forward to doing. And then people say, "Well, how do you know that?" I said, "The Bible says so." And you going to trust everything eternally on the Bible? Yes, I am. "Well, I don't believe in the Bible." Well, I feel sorry for you, because you just announced you're on the losing team. I'm just very sorry. I mean, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, or whatever, if there's a team that has always won, you going to bet on somebody else this time? Why would you do that? I mean, you'd have to be entirely crazy, wouldn't you? If a team had won 100 games in a row, I don't think there's anybody bet on winning 101. And we know that all the prophecies, people today think they're smart, and they aren't. They're intelligent, high IQ. But a high IQ compared to the knowledge of God is nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's the old saying we have in the South. Well, he's a one-eyed man in the land of the king. Is a one-eyed man is king in the land of the blind. Of course he is. doesn't mean he can see as well as somebody with two good eyes, but he can sure see better than somebody with none. And that's about where we stand. I can't believe the arrogance of people studying the scriptures, regardless of their level of intellectualism. I can't imagine anybody ever thinking that they know more than God. How do you reach a point of that ignorance? That's terrible, isn't it? So we have in 1 John 5, if you'll start at verse 8 in a minute, we will read the scriptures there and show you some things that we know for certain, without a shadow of a doubt, that we know. And when you know, you know, you know, you know, you know. Whatever you do for a living, you've done it so long, it's automatic to you. Ricky isn't here this morning. Ricky looks like he's 15. Yeah, there he is. Looks like he's 15 years old. Flies those big old 747s, you know. I take a look at that dashboard and say, you got to be kidding. While he'll eat a ham sandwich and drink a Pepsi while he's taking off. He just knows what to do. Same thing with your job. I used to do sales motivation, and I said, let's be honest. How many people here today could leave work at 12 o'clock every day if the boss said, if you can get as much done by 12 as you've been getting done by 5, you're free to go? How many of you could leave at 12? Everybody in there raised a hand, and you would have to, because you could have done it yourself. You could have to. You learned the tricks of the trade. While you're trying to learn how to drive a nail straight, Kobe will build a house, you know? And when a guy gets on the computer and tries to catch Ann, he's in the wrong league. He's in the wrong league. I do it by hunt and peck, you know, a typewriter. I can type, but it was always difficult in finding and doing it. And type 100 words a minute. Just brrr, said, don't talk to me. Don't tell me what to do. Give me the stuff and I'll get the work done. And they couldn't believe it where she'd go to work, because she'd balance your checkbook in 30 minutes where somebody's been taking all day to do it, see? So fast that the machine would holler, stop. Had a bell on it that said, you're going too fast. And she would hit and make it stop. And I'm looking, let's see, 4 plus 6. Yeah, you know? Well, that isn't what I do. And she'll get on me every now and then. Well, you don't do nothing. You ought to get a job. You ought to. And I said, well, why don't you handle it Sunday? And bless her heart, she'll say, all right, this Sunday I'm going to do it. I'm going to say, everybody saved, get over here. Everybody didn't, get over here. And I'm going to tell them, y'all going to heaven and y'all going to hell. It's not a long sermon, but it's a good one. Right? So you do what you do, I do what I do, and when we get it all done, we'll have something done. But in all that we do to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, because in the end, he wins. Read the book. He wins. Well, I don't see how Israel, it's not up to you to see anything. You just follow what the Lord does, and he will bring you through. And so we're going to cut out this anxiety and all this stress and all that stuff that you people are not supposed to have, because you'll find out in a minute why. So let's pray and then we'll preach. A gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, your living word, and your written word. We know that the written word of God is infallible. It is in and no errors in it, and you can't destroy it. And we know that it is God's word revealed to man. It's the most precious gift we've been given other than the Lord Jesus himself. And we thank you for that, because it has all the answers to life's problems for people, for nations, for kingdoms, for the whole world, if they will but submit to you and follow what you have to say. It's so sad to grow in your grace, learn more about you, and see that from Genesis to Revelation, the answer is Jesus Christ. So if there be one here who knows you not as personal Lord and Savior, or watching by the webcam, may the day be the day that they consider you and what you are and who you are and what you're going to do, and the promises that you've already given us and they've been fulfilled, and that you've given more and they will be fulfilled, and we should have no fear and no stress and no worry, because we are turning our problems over to you as you said we could. Someone for you, how wonderful. If we can plant a seed, good. If we can water a seed some other preacher has planted, wonderful. Because in the end, you give the increase, and you're the only one who can. Thank you for letting us be a small part of it, that we can preach the written word to those who hear about the living word, and that they say, I need to know too. I need the answer. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. So we find in 1 John 5, and we'll start up there at verse 8, to see some things that we know and we're not uncertain of. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now this can cause confusion in the denominational world, because they'll say, well, we have people saved in our church that I know personally, and I know they're involved in sins of this matter or that. Some are very serious sins. Some are small sins, which is no such thing, because all sin is sin against God. And you say nobody can get saved, they're not going to sin again, make you sinless. Being saved makes you sinless. Grow the grace of God and you learn not to sin. I hear people continually in this day and time who are supposed to be Christian, and are. They've accepted the Lord as their personal Savior. They've repented of their sins, but they're caught up in this trivial saying, and they even have it on, oh my God. And you will hear people say that in general conversation. You'll hear teenagers say it all the time on TV or just walking down the street. Now, when you say that, please understand that is taking the Lord's name in vain. He said, whosoever taketh my name in vain, I'm going to have trouble with them. He don't like that. Oh, I thought when you said the other thing about God, no, that's taking his name in vain too. That's just plain old profanity. And you never thought of that problem, that, oh my God, but they use it all the time. Children, you'll hear them pick it up from the parents, and they'll say it. And so a lot of people who are saved sin, and some are sinning and don't even know it. And so you have to have that pointed out to them, and point it out to a few. You don't have to be hateful. Just be a reminder. Excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me, sir. Did you know what you're doing is using the Lord's name in vain? Do you know that's cursing God? Do you know that's going against him and calling him a liar? Have you really thought about that before you said it? Some will thank you. Some will huff off. Some will say, what do you know? What I know is what the Bible says. You don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Will you continue sin? And if you do sin again after you're saved, do you have to be saved again? No, you can only be saved once. God did his job entirely. He completed the act of salvation on the cross. You have been washed in the blood of Christ. You are swapping your sins for His righteousness. He took your sins, if you ask Him to, and gave you His righteousness in place of them. Guilt is that. I can't imagine as the Father, the Lord God Almighty, looking at me and seeing me equal with His Son. I can't picture that. It's true. And it's true for me, and it's true for you. He sees you through the filter of the blood of the Lord Jesus. He can see nothing but sins washed away, covered. There are yet many Christians who can't wait to tell you they're saved and then want to ream off a litany of their former sins. We don't need to do. Why are you telling me something that don't involve? Good gospel song. I love it to death. The guys at Tabernacle Baptist used to sing it, the choir there, the quartet, where the guy got saved and he went to heaven, and he kept bugging the Lord about, I used to this and I used to that, and I did this and I did that. And finally Jesus looked at him and said, "What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore." I said, what a wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty doesn't know what they were. Oh, He knows every one of them. But the power of the blood of Jesus on that cross washed them away. Didn't hide them, didn't cover them. The Jews used to pray that their sins would be forgiven for a year. But they had to do, as a matter of fact. But they didn't understand that the sheep and the goats and the oxen and the birds, when they were sacrificed, that was just a picture of the death of Christ. And when His death came, all sin was washed away. All you have to do is call on His name and give your life to Him. You say, well, that sounds kind of simple. Won't you do it? God, He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now what that means is a Christian will slip and fall into sin, and he can come back out of it. This means he will not continuously stay in a sin. As I mentioned a Sunday or two ago, I had a friend, Steve, still my friend, I hadn't seen him in a few years. He's a judge. He used to sit right over there, and I had only came that one time. And after the service, he's very cordial, yada yada, you know. And he said, well, I enjoyed what you have to say, Beaver, but I'm still going to drink liquor and chase women. I believe what you say. I go to such and such a church down the road here, but I'm still going to drink liquor and chase women. And I'm wanting to say, well, fine, if that's your selection, then you're still going to go to hell. You never got saved. You got saved, you'd put that down. And God will help you put that down. Anything that you do and want help with and need to stop, He will help you stop. I promise you. I bet you have to ask Him to. Lord, you have to help me with this. I'm killing myself doing this. If I get caught doing this, I'm going to lose my home and my family and my wife, and I just can't quit. He said, you're just not trying. You're just not trying. You're not looking at it in its end time report. You see, the day's coming when you'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ if you're lost, and you will be judged, and every sin you ever committed will be on the screen behind you for everybody to read. And you'll be asked, oh, well, what are you going to do about that? I'm a fair man, says Jesus. You have done this. Do you deny any of this? No. Well, then how are you going to pay for it? And there you are, digging your toes in the dirt of heaven. at the judgment saying, I don't have a payment. Can I join the church or something now? No. No, church is gone. It's over. She said, well, what can I do? Nothing. You're too late. Like the little boy had to catch the train into town and he ran and he almost made it, but the car took off and he was running down the tracks and finally slipped and fell and bumped his head and was bleeding. And an old man said, son, you didn't run fast enough. And he said, mister, I didn't start early enough. That's what happened. And the wailing and gnashing teeth is going to go on at the great white throne judgment of people that you and I thought were good folks are going to find out there are no good folks, and being good won't help you anyway. I love Bill Monroe out of Florence, runs a Baptist temple up there, and I've known him 50 years, and I just happened to cut him on this morning as we're getting ready to come. And I said, well, there he is, back to Christianity 101. He said, we got a lot of good people in Florence, but being good won't wash away your sin. And there's a lot of good people. As we rate good, God rates good on, are you as good as he is? Long way to go. Long way to go. But Jesus said, come unto me, and I'll wash your sins away. And they I love Bobby McGinnis. He went to be with the Lord a couple of months ago and grew up with Bobby for 50 or 60 years and played ball with him. And we were just the best of friends. And Bobby knew one Bible verse after he got saved. And I said, what's your favorite, Bobby? He said, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That's a good one to know. That's a good one to lean on. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Well, so-and-so, he does this or does that. You mean he's looked at as sinless by God the Father? He is. His sins are washed away. Well, I don't understand that. I didn't expect you to. You don't understand much of theology that goes on in church. So the Lord said, look, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, there's a whole movement about, especially in America and England, about God is some usher in heaven, that his duty is to run about getting stuff and give it to you every time you ask for it. And they call it, what do they call it? Starts with a P, not the positive gospel, whatever, same thing. Anyhow, they think God's Santa Claus in the sky. What they forget to read is, if we ask anything according to his will, he gave it to you. See, there's people right now praying for a yacht that if you gave them one, you'd never see them at church again. Got to take care of the yacht, you know. Right. Worst thing that ever happened was the Ed Sullivan Show. Ed Sullivan Show destroyed Sunday night service at churches. Used to be every church had Sunday night service. There is no doubt about that. Now you can drive around a town for an hour looking for a church that's open on Sunday night. Yeah. Well, I don't want to spend all my time in church, please. There's 168 hours in the week, and you can't give up one to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who created you and saved you. That's too much time for you, is it? What's the matter with you? Read what Paul and that crowd did. They preached in the afternoon through the evening, and one fell out the window at 11 o'clock. They thought he was dead. They had to go back and lay down on him and pray and raise him up. Did you see where he went when he got through raised up? He went back to church. Went back to church. We don't have to do that, and we don't do that. The seminaries, when I was going, wanted to tell us, don't ever preach longer than 20 minutes. And I said, I can give you my name and address in 20 minutes, but I can't do much expounding of Scripture in 20 minutes. When you sit at the feet of a good preacher, Harold Seidler, up here once a year, you sit in my, I've seen my dad many an afternoon. He'd start at 3 o'clock, and about 5, he'd say, now I know we got some policemen here and some nurses, people that work at the hospital. Let's take a short break, 30 seconds. You go ahead. We're glad you came. You won't be disturbing us. Go ahead. Glad you came. Know you got to get to work. The rest of you stay where you are. And they were good for 2 more hours. People didn't get up and leave. Why? See, if you love God and learning about God and want to know what God expects of you and what he's got for you, you don't, it's like a little grandbaby. At Christmas, okay, you could do them from here to the Walmart. She's ready for one more. Just give me one more. Children and grandchildren are the same way. When it's good enough, you're going to stay a while. Any of you gentlemen ever dated your favorite girlfriend and you're about to ask her to get married soon in the next couple of months? You picked her up at 8 o'clock at 8:15 said, honey, it's getting late. We need to get you home. Anybody do that? I didn't. Daddy's looking for me. It's the way it used to be. Any of y'all had that little Route 9 conversation? If somebody had a nice looking daughter, he'd have a conversation with you before you took her off. He'd say, that's my daughter, that's my baby, that's my life, and I don't even know who you are. You bring her back like she is right now, or I will kill you. Do you understand that, boy? You got the conversation, didn't you? Yeah. We were talking about Flossie. You know Flossie Ann from Greenville, beautiful girl. And Domer was here out of Charlotte. He lived in Greenville with us for his teenage years. And I said, you remember Flossie, don't you, Domer? He said, I've been run off that porch many a night. Her mom would come right out that door at 9:30 and zoop, that was it. She was coming in. And things have changed a little bit now. Now the children run the home. They allow their parents to be there. They wouldn't have liked my daddy. Man. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come. Isn't this sad? That we know the Son of God, and Jesus proved he was the Son of God through many infallible proofs, the Bible says. And the miracles that he performed, there are only 35 that he talks about, just 35. And that isn't enough. People, well, what's your favorite number? Would you believe he was the Son of God if it was 45? How about 55? How about 105? When you got saved, that was a miracle. He's performed a billion miracles. You just didn't watch. You weren't watching. You weren't looking. He has proven he was the Son of God, and I've been studying a little Islam to find out what they believe. Jack has too, and we've been looking things up about that. They denied the deity of Christ. Their doctrine almost parallels Christianity on many, many issues about being good and acting right and not sinning and resurrection. They believe in a virgin birth. But they do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And that's like making it all the way home, but you forgot the door key. No matter where you came from to get to your front door, if you don't have the key, that's just too bad. And that's what's happened to them. Are there Muslims who are good people? Absolutely, as we say, good people. Smart people. They invented algebra. Are you kidding me? I know doctors. If you see doctors around town here and they have a Muhammad in their name, they're Islam. Smart, intelligent. Top of the totem pole. But if you deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never darken heaven's door. I'll promise you that. He takes that very, very seriously. When he says he is the Son of God, he is God the Son. If you call him a liar, what are you going to do when you face him? Years ago, I was like some of you. I was just fearful of having to face God and face Jesus. I didn't understand. There were a couple of judgments. I just thought there was a general judgment like most churches teach. And I said, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? You may have thought that way. Don't worry anymore. You don't have to do nothing. Because the roll book says you were called, your number was called, and you were there. I love those old hymns of the church, don't you? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm not going to be absent, see. So we know that the Son of God has come. Who else? Somebody said, I think I'll start a new religion. And what do you think about that? And the man he's talking to said, well, there's a lot of them already out there. And if you want to start one, I guess you can. I'd start with getting myself crucified and raised up the third day. That's a hard start, isn't it? As a matter of fact, there's only one did that out of billions of people. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead bodily. We know he's coming back to get those who have trusted him. He's given us an understanding. Isn't that something? Wonder why he touched our minds. That we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, I can't explain to you what being in Christ means. I do know that it means that when I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Bible says, God lives in me. How's that work? I don't know. I don't even know how we hear and taste and smell today. I know how a couple of you smell, and you need to get on some of that perfume stuff. But we find out that if I'm going to be in Christ, I'm pretty safe, aren't I? You can't be safe by rituals. You can't be safe by keeping the law. Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. It's been done. I can point to his record as my record. How wonderful is that? Well, I just don't understand. I don't understand how you can take water and freeze it in its ice and melt it in its water again and heated it becomes steam. I don't understand all that. You folks that have had physics and all that stuff, you understand that more than I. I think it's absolutely wonderful that when winter comes, the ocean doesn't freeze, don't you? Did you ever wonder about that? Why don't the lakes freeze? Why don't doesn't the ocean freeze? We'd be out of water, wouldn't we? We'd all be dead. It only freezes a couple of feet, and that's it. Up where my dad came from in Canada, about the time spring's about to arrive, they get these jalopies and drive them out on the lake. And some of them will break, and the jalopy will go right down in the water. And, they'll ride cars on the ice. The small towns, I was in a small town, Bob Cajun, Canada, Ontario, was, and my dad holding a meeting there and rented an ice skating rink. But this was summertime, and people came up there to fish from Michigan and all, famous fishing place. And they had these little huts around with straw in them. And I said, well, what are those things on the lake there? They said, oh, when winter comes, we'll cut blocks of ice, huge, big as the pulpit, blocks of ice, and stack them in there. And that's our ice for the winter. I mean, it's free. It's just there. And it comes out of the lake. It's not salty. And that's our ice supply. Well, how wonderful that is, those folks can do that. But only God could make the water in the lake not freeze, but the water in your freezer freezes. We take so many things for granted. When you get old as me, you start looking at the little things and wonder. I wonder why your eyebrows don't come down and cover your eyes. Have you ever thought about that? Huh? I mean, the rest of your hair, it'd grow down. That lovely young lady here, her hair fall down a foot there. But her eyebrows aren't that thin. What kept them from growing the same length as her? Somebody's in charge, and it's not me and you. And you wonder at those little bitty things, and I see every now I'll see a fly will come land on your leg while you're trying to eat up at Ella's. And I tease with the waitresses. I said, honey, is this a house fly? Is this a pet fly? I'm going to kill him in a minute. He's aggravating me to death. But you can't ever hit him. You wonder why. You can't hit him because he's got 100 eyes. That's why. Pete, we'll see you again. Thanks for coming, brother. Appreciate you. And he's got 100 eyes. You looking for him with 2, he's looking for you at 100. A fly swatter has holes in it. Did you ever wonder why? Why wasn't it just solid and you bapped the fly and that's it? Because the wind pressure of that flat, he will feel long time before you get to him. But if the holes are there, the pressure will come through and bap, you got him. See? Little things are wonderful, aren't they? I mean, I'm telling you the truth. How in the world do you girls stay pretty so long? We can't do that. We can just get so ugly. And we got pot bellies and bald heads. And here we go. And our teeth are falling out. And you're right there with us. Keep on lying, honey. You handsome. You look good. Thank you. There's only 3 ages. Young, old, and you looking good. Right? And we tell everybody that every day, don't we? But we know that God's in charge, and he says that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true. Even in his son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Now, the Hindus have 400 million gods. I guess you can't pray to all of them. You ain't going to live that long, are you? If you just had a short prayer to that many, you'd drop dead. And everybody else wants two or three. And remember the pictures of the, I don't know which group it is. They have the world is on the back of a turtle, which is on the back of an eternal elephant, one of those over in India. Nobody bothered to ask what the elephant was standing on. Foolishness. Bow down to a pineapple. Bow down to an animal. Egypt used to worship cats. Some of you worship a dog. Some of you like your pets better than you do your husband or wife. I see it all the time. See it all the time. If you got any affection to share it with somebody that loves you. I never get tired of telling Miss Ann. She gets tired of hearing it. I say, love you, honey, and I'm gone somewhere. Go out the door, love you, honey. That's the last thing she ever hears when I go out the door. Because I may not be back. But the last thing she heard was, love you, honey. I hope you do that. Ann does it sometime to me, don't you, honey? Other time it gets caught in her throat, but I know what she means. It's just to have somebody to love. It's just instinctive in man to have somebody to love. Because love is a wonderful thing. Why? Because God is love. That's why. And he wants us to love ye one another. I held a funeral this week and I said, isn't it sad with all this going on around us? Everybody at war, threatening war, bombing people they were hugging last week, hugging people they were bombing last week. And I said, isn't it a miracle? The short sentences of Jesus that would solve every problem in the world, and people won't pay attention to them. Love ye one another. That doesn't take a bunch of theological knowledge, does it? You don't have to go to Princeton and Yale and Harvard theological schools. You don't have to know the Bible in Hebrew and Greek. Can't you understand, love you one another? That's what you're supposed to do. Well, he makes me so mad. Well, she makes me so mad. Doesn't matter, love you one another. She's a child of God. He's a child of God. If you'd love your mate like God loves you, wouldn't it be good? There go the lawyers. How sad. Guy went to hell, died, went to hell. He wasn't supposed to be there. He's a Christian. And Gabriel found out about it, got on the phone, called the devil, said, Satan, yeah, you got one of ours down there? He said, I don't know. Who are you looking for? Said, Bob Johnson. He's supposed to be in here today at 3 o'clock. We ain't seen him. Said, yeah, Bob, yeah, he checked in here a while ago. We got him. He said, well, you better let him go and let him come on up here. And the devil said, no, I've got him. I'm keeping him. And Gabriel said, what do you mean you keeping him? I'll sue you. Gabriel said, where are you going to go, lawyer? We hope we don't make the lawyers mad, but, you know, where are you going to get one? So we are to love one another. There's people in here don't care much for each other. Gossip about each other. Well, I don't like the way he, I don't like the way she. It's not, you're not to judge. Always remember, you not in charge. God's in charge. And we to be obedient unto him and his word. And if we'll do that, he'll work out the details. Simple sentence. All things work together for good to those who love God and live according to his promise. Right? All you've got to do. And I don't want to fuss and fight and all, and we'll get reports in from different places. Well, so-and-so didn't like, and so-and-so didn't like what you said about whatever. And if I make you mad by something I say, come to me. I'm not going to hurt anybody. We'll just sit down, have us a Pepsi or whatever, and find out what the problem is. And we'll talk. If I was mistaken and you show me where I was, I will be glad to apologize. I never said I was perfect. I'll make mistakes just like you. But if you don't like somebody, don't tell one of these people and get them not liking me. I got enough people don't like me. I don't need your help. Come to me. And let's sit down together. Is that not what the book says to them? Come together. Let's talk about it. See? Nobody's going to be mad. Nobody's going to say, well, you don't need to come here anymore. I'll give you my side, you give me yours, and then you deal with it. And let us in these hard times that we're in, my goodness, it's hard. Let us love one another and care for one another and ask one another. And most of you do. You'll say, how you doing? And they're serious and wanting to know. Are you sick? Do you need anything? Can I help you in any way? I mean, you're a group of the most wonderful people I've met in my life. Because you love the Lord. And you're willing to do what he says. So let's keep on down that road. As in these last days, and we're in them. Soon we'll hear a trumpet blow. And soon nothing that matters to us now will ever matter again. Book says you'll forget it all. And we'll live in his presence. And boy, is that going to be good. If you aren't saved, you've never repented of your sins, you've never asked Christ into your life, into your heart. Why don't you do that this morning? You know you're a sinner. I know you one, because I'm one. Takes one to see one. But end it all today. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. Because all sin is against you. And I just want to ask to be forgiven. I believe you're the Savior of the world. I believe you died on a cross to save mankind if they would but call on you. And this morning, I want to call on you. You don't have to come up here. You do it on home if you're watching by webcam. But make peace with God. No more stress. No more anxiety. Because he is God. And he'll take care of all love. If you let him. But you have to let him. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for caring for us. For providing for us. For protecting us. Be with those who lost loved ones this week in our fellowship and in our group here at North Myrtle Beach, and be with their families as they mourn. But as you say, joy cometh in the morning. Be with anybody here who's lost that they would accept you now. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Sinner.